We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow on the show, we will talk with Dan Durkin. He will break down Bears tape from Sunday's game, and we will ask him about Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles. And is Cole on the show tomorrow?
He should be.
Okay. Well, we've been saying that for the last month. We'll see if Cole is, in fact, on the show tomorrow. We will talk with him. There's a kind of serious subject matter that I'm going to carve out some time for to talk on tomorrow's show as well. Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Parkins and Spiegel are here. They are ready. They're having a crackling conversation out in the Score hallways before they jumped into the studio. And now you are going to be treated to 4 hours. Wait, 3.5 hours, right? Bulls game tonight? Oh, that's tomorrow. Bulls game tomorrow.
Bulls
night.
Game tomorrow. So are we off early for Bulls tomorrow?
I think you are because they're in Detroit.
I forgot that was a thing that would ever happen again until Cubs season.
But I
thought we were done with that.
Pre-game's like 15 minutes, right? We don't do a full. Oh, yeah, we're off a little early tomorrow. That's nice. I don't think we do a full. Do we do a full 30?
5:45?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Still, though.
Yeah, it's great. All right, yeah.
Extra minutes here and there.
More time to sit in traffic.
I like doing radio. Lawrence, that's my thing. I like to work. You know, these guys over here.
It's fine.
In the power chair.
No, but of course the conversation is crackling. How could it not be crackling? His game had a thriller on Monday night.
Oh, what a game.
My game had a Kyle Schwarber grand slam on the way to a Red Sox offensive explosion.
They made it real easy to turn that game off last night. And I was like, oh, grand opening, grand closing.
And yet still I did not.
Well, I figured you did.
I did not turn it off.
Were you concerned when it was at the third inning?
Yeah, Kyle Tucker hit a three-run homer and it was 9-3.
That was the fourth.
That was the fourth, okay.
They had the makings of a big inning, I think, in the third. And then I think there was they got out of it. Boston got out of it. And even the announcers were like, you know, had that at bat, like, it felt like there was a tide that was getting ready to turn, and the Red Sox fought it back.
White Sox fans just saw that lineup. That lineup is freaking hellacious. That lineup is terrifying for the Astros. So, yeah, and it's Fenway. I mean, I was at Fenway when they blew a 9-0 lead against the Toronto Blue Jays and Ernie Witt 35 years ago or 40 years ago. You want to talk about that some more? Danny, would you like that?
No.
I didn't think so.
That sounds horribly boring.
Didn't think so. But yeah, no, you can't turn that stuff off.
This is Schwarber, man. Schwarber's postseason career.
Incredible.
Is really amazing. And someone's going to talk themselves in to that, not only based on his performance in the second half of the season,
but using his postseason as a reason to give him more money.
100%. Someone will talk themselves into that being like a commodity. Hey, we don't have experience winning. Kyle Schwarber does. I'm not saying that he'll get like what John Lester was for the Cubs or something like that. It won't be that crazy.
All those guys travel with that kind of gravitas, though. Now you're right. That becomes a thing, a currency in their market.
Yeah, but Schwarber, I feel like especially like performing again in a different place. What he did to come back for the World Series, what he did in 2015. Like he has a body of work now across multiple years and now multiple teams. Where like. his agents will take that into the offseason and be like, you want an October performer? Sign my guy.
It's already happening. Alex Cora last night talking about him, saying that Schwarber, as soon as he got there, the kind of at-bats that he takes, just super confident, patient at-bats. They needed it, and now everybody's hitting like him. That's the manager talking about Schwarber like that. He looks like he was born to be in a Red Sox uniform.
That ballpark plays to his strengths,
yeah.
Too.
He's, and the thing is, like, and my whole family's catching up. They're like, oh, why did they say he was Babe effing Ruth? It's because, look at him. There he is in a Red Sox uniform. It's pretty hilarious.
You have your own mug?
Somebody once gave me like a 6-pack of Spiegel catalog mugs, so I needed to bring one in.
Oh, okay.
Needed to bring a mug in, so I decided to go for the self-branded mug.
I like it.
Level of arrogance to show up with your own self-branded mug?
But it was
tongue-in-cheek, because it's not really mine.
Right? Yeah. Like, you didn't go and have a Spiegel mug made.
I did
this
not.
Was a whole thing, and I like it. I think the mug plays.
But I feel like, and I'm not a coffee drinker, but I feel like it's like maybe the only thing that can be personalized and monogrammed that doesn't really come with any amount of pretentiousness. Like, everyone's got weird, kooky coffee mugs, right? Like,
yeah. And I
have one from The Onion that says, "Fancy man enjoys tea."
Yeah. Steph got one that said, "The future Mrs. Parkins," for like a bachelorette gift or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, it's like, costs like $8 to customize a mug.
The first gift that Ruben ever gave me was a Farter of the Year. I mean father on the bottom. Yeah. That's his chosen gift. He's
one of
still
the two
laughs.
Accurate.
Yeah, right. Every time I use it, he still laughs. Thinks he was brilliant giving me that. He was, actually. It's a pretty good gift.
When he stops laughing at that, that's going to be a set.
The Bears offense is bad.
Yeah. Farter of the year. See?
I stand by that adverb choice. And it checks out.
That was a comedic timing choice that you made.
Correct.
In that spot. Yeah.
How bad is it? That's how bad it is.
And that's bad.
And that's still.
That is real bad.
Still how bad it is. X's and O's request when you talk to Dan Durkin tomorrow.
Sure.
Is bad.
Well, I'm not going to ask him about that.
You don't have to. But they, when they expanded the offense to have a few more passing plays, it seems to me that all they did was grab some of the wacky, naggy plays with empty and like shotgun crap, as opposed to building upon successful run formations and successful things that they were doing against the Lions and the Raiders. So it's one thing to expand the offense and have it match and make sense. It's another to just grab some other random stuff that you'd like to do and try to make that work.
Explain this to me, Speaks. Over the last couple of games, you've seen the Bears run the ball effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? You would agree with that?
Yes, very much so.
Isn't that a foundational piece of a passing game success? That you have run game success, which should theoretically open things up for you to use play action to take advantage of the fact that people are going to have to bring an extra body into the box to try and stop the run, and then you can get them on a half a step forward slide one of those receivers behind them.
Pretty much the whole idea.
It's goes hand in hand. So what does it say that while the Bears have effectively run the ball for the last three games, that we haven't seen the pass game improve at all?
Yeah, and in a way that's married to the run game. I brought this up yesterday, Danny, when you and I were talking about it, and heard Sage Rosenfels today with Burnsy and Layla saying, soon they'll start to work in that play-action passing game. And I'm like, well, this would have been the time to try and do it.
Any time would be nice, but this week in particular, and we'll get more into it, obviously, as the week goes, but nobody runs on Tampa.
Correct.
Nobody runs. Last year, this year, if Vita Vea is healthy, when they have Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh next to each other on the interior of that defensive line, nobody runs on them, period.
You want a fun exercise? Now, look, any professional athlete you can probably do this with, where you go get video of what they were in high school, like watching Jay Cutler's high school tape, whether it's football or basketball, is just ridiculous, right? Vita Vea running the football in high school. It's amazing.
I believe it.
It's amazing.
I believe it.
Because he's not just like 300 pounds. Like, he was also pretty fast, straight line. And there is no way that you were going to stop him. It's terrifying. And I can't even imagine what high school players were thinking. See, Speaks just found it. What high school players were thinking in trying to come up and tackle that monster of a human being.
I haven't seen anybody try and tackle him just yet.
Yeah. You see people try and they bounce off for 5 yards.
Well, that is the cousin of the Derrick Henry conversation. And Derrick Henry's high school stats and video is legendary. He would have like off games where he had 250 rushing yards with 3 touchdowns.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
He's still doing it in the pros. That, he did it
last
night.
That's the thing. The athletic difference between him and everybody else still being palpable when it's the NFL is...
It doesn't make any sense. It surprises me every time. Every time, man. He is 6'3", 247 pounds, and he had a 76-yard touchdown run last night where he won a foot race against a safety.
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. And his usage, like anyone who plays fantasy football is aware of like when you have the 2,000-yard season – or the 350 carry season, the next year it's like, stay away from that guy because it's not sustainable.
I mean, that's my concern for David Montgomery, is that eventually in the next couple of years we're going to see his production go down because he runs so hard and he takes so much punishment.
And he's not a superhuman being as Derrick Henry apparently is.
2019, Derrick Henry played in 15 games, 303 carries, 1,540 yards.
It doesn't matter.
5 yards a carry, 16 touchdowns. But, you know, he was weak that year, and he played in 15 games. Because in 3 of the last 4, he's played all 16 games. Last year, 378 carries, 2,000 yards. He's had 5 seasons in the NFL. This is his 6th. 15 games, 16, 16, 15, 16. Hasn't missed a game yet. Pacing for well over 300 carries. He actually has a shot at 400 carries.
Give me the total yards for each season for him.
Okay, so 490, 744, 1,050, 1,540, 2,027, and he's already at 783 through 6 games. Double-digit touchdowns in 4 consecutive seasons because he's already at 10 touchdowns this year in 6 games. Derrick Henry is absolutely on a Hall of Fame track.
100%.
Absolutely. And by the way, my team, the Guagi Enthusiasts, would be far much further along in fantasy had I chose him instead of Christian McCaffrey. Just a disaster.
You just can't trust Christian
McCaffrey. No, you can't. I'll never do it again. I'll never go there again.
But I actively stayed away from him because what he's...
Because you figured that he's going to fall off the table.
The wear down was coming because of the amount of punishment that maybe it makes a difference if you're the one who's dealing out the punishment.
Right.
Absolutely. He delivers hits.
But you
for sure.
I was like, oh, well, they signed Julio. A.J. Brown's awesome. They had to know that 378 carries is not a sustainable pace for a 250-pound man. And I'm gonna do this math real quick.
Okay.
Well, because, I mean, 162 divided by 6, we should be able to do. That's like 20. 25 carries a game, something like
well,
that.
Well, 6 into 15 is 30, right?
6 into 15
is...
Oh, you're...
Would be
25.
Yeah, it would be 25.
Yeah.
162 divided by 6...
6 into 18.
Is 27 carries a game times 17 would be 459 carries that he's pacing for this year if he plays at this pace in all 17 games.
I think that Vrabel is probably going to do that.
Most carries in a season.
They pass the ball off the
run game. Is there Earl Campbell season where he carried it 500 times or something?
I don't know. It just... Larry Johnson, 416. He's on pace.
And that's a guy that definitely... Like, that affected him.
Yes. Jamal Anderson, 410. And all of these seasons.
Jamal Anderson with the Dirty Bird. How about Jamal Lewis?
Jamal Lewis in his 2,000-yard season. Mm-hmm.
350?
387.
Okay.
But so here's something that's also kind of crazy about it. And I know it's just 1 year, but like every – so Derrick Henry's 27. The top 11 most attempts in a season, guys, all 26 and under. It's 26, 25, 24, 23. Across the board,
because
it's a young man's game,
and they're not quite as effective by the time they get to 27. It is a young man game. It's a disposable position, which is a bummer because it's also super aesthetically fun. Like I love watching Khalil Herbert, you know, and I like sort of trying to pick apart the style and compare him to running backs that you've seen before and kind of learn running backs these ways.
He's perfect for the zone run scheme that the Bears want to run.
But there'll be six more guys available in rounds 4, 5, and 6 in this year's draft that probably are good for that too.
Agreed.
It's just it's the nature of that beast now.
Well, yeah, it is frustrating when people are like, that's another find for Ryan Pace. I'm like, yeah, can he find someone at a premium position?
Could he find like a left tackle?
He's good at finding guards. And running backs.
And late round running backs.
And defensive linemen.
And defensive linemen, which is valuable, but it's not. But he hasn't found a great edge rusher. He finds.
Maybe. Travis Gibson.
Gibson shows a little flash.
He's got some tools.
We'll see if he can be a high end productive player at that position. That's why I'm holding out hope for Jalen Johnson. If and obviously Justin Fields. Like if he got those two right, then we got to just be like, oh, damn. He messed up with Mitch in a horrific way, but it's not that he has like some blind spots for premium positions or first round talents or whatever the case may be.
It's weird because I think that the football intelligentsia were more on board with Johnson than they are even with Fields. I think that everyone that I talked to around football, when the Bears made the pick of Jalen Johnson, they were like, yeah, they have a guy that can play that position for 8 years.
Yep.
And so far, I haven't seen anything to make me think that he can't, although the loafing on the play with Devontae Adams was a little discouraging. Even if he did hand him off to Eddie Jackson, it was discouraging to see him both not look back towards the quarterback, which is what you would do if you handed him off, and then just kind of drift.
The recovery was not good.
I feel like there's potential for some real rotten attitudes and vibes in that secondary.
Yep.
Because of Eddie being the big dog, the guy who is paid, and the guy who's actively showing people that it's all right to not tackle. I mean, it's got to drive you crazy when you are a teammate like that. And there's been a lot of confusion. There's been a lot of times on big plays where the palms are up in the air.
There's been too much for guys that have played as much football as Tashawn Gibson and Eddie Jackson have played. I get if you're talking about Kendall Vildor in the first game, you're throwing a guy out there that has no business in the slot against Cooper Kupp. I get that. But there do seem to have been too many times already in a season where the back four are all looking at each other like, wait, weren't you supposed to be here and I was supposed to be here? Too much of that already.
So you need like a serious, in-the-box, great tackling safety to play with Eddie Jackson, right? To make that function, to let him be as freewheeling as he has been, is that the guy you need?
I don't think it's the safety. I think it's – and this is the thing that's damning for Eddie – it's the pass rush, and the pass rush has been there. Like, they've gotten to the quarterback. They have 21 total sacks now as a team. They were leading the league in sacks. His production should be a byproduct of quarterbacks getting the ball out without worrying about double moves. Now, some of the quarterbacks have done a great job of it, and in the first game, because of some of the miscommunication, you saw Stafford be able to do that. But some of it is just – look, the ball's supposed to come out, and Eddie Jackson's supposed to make a play on it. My question about him is, how valuable are you if you're not doing either? If you're taking the ball away, you're valuable. If you're trying to be an impact player in run defense or tackling when in the pass game, you have value. But what if you're not giving either?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're obviously bad and not valuable, but We did this yesterday. He's on the team the next two seasons.
He's on the team for next year.
Yeah. They paid him a bunch of money, and at the time, it was the highest paid safety in football.
And it made sense.
Sure. I mean, I'm going to pull it up. It was 13 takeaways in his first 3 years, I think. I'm doing that from memory. But it was.
And what was it, like 7 touchdowns? Isn't he already tied with like Mike Brown on the all-time list of touchdowns?
Yeah, something like that. Crazy production along that way. And the money got locked
in. He's got 6 touchdowns, yeah. And it was – so he was great. He was great and all that, but just – you are in a bad spot if he's not getting takeaways, because that's where his value was assigned. And it's the most valuable thing a defensive player can do, period. Right? It's obviously more valuable than a sack. It's more valuable than a QB hit.
Oh, he's technically right in that video if he would come up with the takeaways. It's just that they are not sustainable. Lovie Smith's defense made them more sustainable than any defense I've ever seen. They found a way because they had some really good team methodology for that stuff.
It's true. I mean, they taught it. They coached it. And the 2018 Bears, they were getting, 2.3 turnovers per game. And that was, here's Khalil Mack, here's Akeem Hicks. They are panicking quarterbacks. And quarterbacks are just like, I got to get the ball out. They never, ever had to worry about a double move. That all the defensive backs could break on the ball immediately because they knew that they weren't going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. The ball was coming out because Khalil Mack was on your left shoulder
there, so they could bank on all
of
that.
Yeah, the ball's coming out. So you see the quarterback pat the ball, boom. You're downhill making a leap towards the ball. I think that there's been opportunities for that this year. And it hasn't happened. It's hard. It's a very hard thing to sustain. It's very difficult to have that level of takeaway. But still, I think that he's probably – I know that if I looked at like PFF grades or if I really sat down and watched tape with someone, they could tell me, and Big Ant was trying to tell me yesterday about the value of Eddie Jackson beyond him as a ball hawk. Okay.
In terms of positioning?
Yeah.
Being able to scheme all the different things they do in the secondary?
I think that without him taking the ball away, that makes him an average to slightly below average safety.
Mm.
And then you've got questions on, well, what is the value of him being on the field versus whether it's Houston Carson or Deion Bush, would you be better off? Well, I don't know the answer to it.
I just don't think benching him's in play.
I don't either.
Okay.
I don't think that they're...
Because Speaks asked me that yesterday, would you bench him? I don't think you can bench dudes in the NFL that make that kind of guaranteed money when they're healthy.
I think you can do it, and I think that position can do it. I don't think that it's a full outright benching that happens with him, but I do think that they're selective with personnel depending on some of the looks that they're going to see from the offense, where... if we're in a short yardage situation, there's no reason for Eddie Jackson to be on the field.
Sure.
That sort of thing. Where before, he's probably going to be on the field regardless. I think that you have to be very careful about who's out there in some of those situations.
And I think they're getting closer to being able to do that kind of thing. Eddie Jackson has played 100% of the snaps so far on the year. But DeAndre Houston Carson played a bunch yesterday along with Tayshaun Gibson. And Deion Bush played 3 snaps. So they're playing a lot of the safeties getting in there. You got to make every play. They had their hands on one pass. Alec Ogletree was the only pass breakup of the entire day.
He seems to have a knack for it.
Should have picked it. I hate to tell him he should have picked it, but that we were saying yesterday. That's how you beat Aaron Rodgers, is you got to come up with that stuff. Danny is Danny's obsessed with Aaron Rodgers. Oh. He loves his attitude.
I love everything about him.
Loves everything about him.
Even the hair? I got a problem with the hair.
I got no problem with the hair.
Okay.
He's letting himself go.
Aaron's leaned in a little bit. He's leaned in a little bit and cracked back on our teammate Olin Krutz a little bit today. So
just got done with him and Pat McAfee. We'll play it for people after transition. He is feeling himself.
And unrepentant in every possible way.
Yeah, it might not be the one.
But Olin Olin has agreed to come on today at 4:40.
It might not be the one.
To respond to Aaron Rodgers' response. And John Kuhn, the old fullback for the Packers, he was talking about Olin Krutz, so he's getting into it. Now Kyle Long is putting some salvos out there. So we've got like a...
Might be the wrong guy.
We got a Bears-Packers war of words thing.
Just stay away from the gun range.
Rogers said, I heard Olin Krutz wants to punch me in the face. How soft have we gotten as a society?
Oh!
Soft about our guy Olin.
Oh, is that right?
Soft about our guy Olin.
Well, I mean,
it's not just Olin.
I know.
There's so much anger for him, for Aaron.
But Olin hates soft. Like, that's like his trigger word. Like, he thinks all of society has gone soft. So,
I like to punch him in his face.
I saw Olin Krutz said he wanted to punch me in the face.
Yeah, I like to punch him in his face.
So, you know, we're not going to not fan those flames and ask Olin what he thinks about that when he joins us today at 4:40.
I think that's an excellent thing to do. By the way, I don't know if you guys heard, Big Ant was still tied up with stuff over at Fox, which is literally like across the street from our studios. So Olin did the post for like 10 minutes solo. It was really good.
Post on the TV?
No, here.
They do post here.
Oh, yeah.
And like Olin, I was listening to it last night, and he's like, he's out here giving you the number. He's throwing out topics. He's resetting. He's got a list of things. It was really good.
I believe it.
I do love when the radio mechanics start to develop for people like that. It's a beautiful thing to hear.
Well, you and I were both here when Joe Kane tried it.
Please, God, can I get a phone call?
That is a quote. That is a quote from Joe Kane when he tried to do radio.
Mac and I had Joe Kane on.
I want to do the Amish know we're in a pandemic right now.
Yes, that was amazing. I was like, score stories with Joe Kane. Really? Mac's like, trust me on this one. I was like, oh, okay. And it was one of the great laughs I've ever heard. Mm. That is spectacular.
Just begging for a phone call. God. For the love of God.
Can I get a phone call?
I know that every Bears fan is really hoping that wherever Aaron Rodgers is, that Aaron's like walking to his car and then like Olin just kind of walks out of the shadow.
Yeah.
And doesn't even say anything. Just kind of walks out of the shadow and just stands there.
Unconfirmed reports that Olin is on his way to Wisconsin right now to go find Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
There would be nothing funnier than seeing the look on Aaron Rodgers' face as Olin steps out of a – like, you got to think of it like as a dark Packers parking lot.
Oh, God.
You got to think of, like, one light kind of flickering and then just Olin. Just not even saying anything. Just walking out. And Aaron Rodgers seeing him. And then what would happen? The look on his face would be priceless.
Olin says he's done fighting, but I always tell Olin he has one fight left in him. He's got one.
He's done fighting unless it's something that he truly believes in.
Yeah.
Although technically he's also like really good at like fighting. I don't even mean like stuff that happens in a locker room. I mean like getting on the mat and whether it's wrestling or MMA, like
he pinned Shane one time.
He's really the wrong dude for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
He's really the wrong dude.
Where did he pin you, Shane? Where was that?
About right where Lawrence is standing.
Yeah?
Yeah. We were joking around on Instagram like a few days prior to me seeing him.
Terrible
and he
idea.
Was like, he was the one initiating the joking. And then I came in to say what's up to him when I got here on like a Sunday or something. It was Bears Pre. And we went in for a handshake. And he just locked onto my hand. You could ask Anthony Herron. He was sitting right where Danny is and like just put me on the ground so fast. And then Anthony's in the background screaming, Olin, he's a civilian.
That's the best part.
And then got up immediately and gave me a hug. It was like, it was a great life experience for me.
Anthony Herron and Lance Briggs. Briggs' first time commenting on Eddie Jackson.
Another one that it's a bad idea to.
Miller Life Top Draft Show.
I'm just saying. It's a bad choice.
Yeah.
And so Olin, to connect both of those things, and you're right, they'll be at the Beacon Tap and Displays tonight, 6 to 9. Olin put out a video thread of Lance Briggs tackles today.
Saw it.
Been getting quite a run, too.
Because he's legitimately the best tackler in the history of the Bears. But okay.
Eddie Jackson,
it's fine.
He had the sense to delete the tweet. Right? Yeah, like
nice.
He had the sense to the
Too
bad
late,
sense.
Though.
To, of course, the internet is written in ink. We know this, but he at least had the sense to delete the tweet. Oh man, I love this stuff. This is why I have not been proven wrong here. Trash talk universally good.
Yeah, it's going to be good for the Parkins and Spiegel show today.
It's just entertaining. It's harmless fun about sports,
unless Olin steps out of the shadow.
Well, yeah, well, right. He could take it to the next level.
Although I feel like that would literally be all that would need to be done.
Just standing there.
Of course.
Just kind of go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then see an Aaron Rodgers reaction, then turn it around and going back to wherever it is that he's going to go.
You know, Rodgers talks a big game, as he was today, about wanting it to be a civil society and living above the fray and living above the game. And then he drops down and gets right involved in it.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then he can immediately say that he's above it later on. But he has certainly put himself right down in the dirt.
It's an impressive trick that he's navigated. We had a very football-y show today. Boomer Esiason at 3 o'clock, Hubarkish at 4, Olin Krutz at 4:40. Joe O will join us as well.
Nice, boys. Have yourselves a time. I'm going to get out of here. And hopefully all of us can have the type of day that the Chicago Sky had today. Because they did it.
We consumed quite a bit of the parade shenanigans. It looked like they had an absolutely incredible time.
They did it up.
Way too many politicians talking.
Way too many politicians.
Oh, my God.
Everyone wanted to attach themselves.
And now, Scott Town, I need us to give it up for Cook County President Brett Winkle.
This is ridiculous. I thought it was a joke. Like they all were just.
I would like to pander to this audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I please have some podium time so I can pander appropriately? This checks a lot of boxes for me.
Oh my God, that's spectacular.
They
have no idea that Tanny was listening to everything.
Oh, it was.
Oh my God,
the show that was happening in Shane's office.
And now we would like to give a warm welcome to our governor, J.B. Brisker! Make some noise! Sit up!
All right, everybody, who's here for the Chicago Sky?
Everybody, dumbass.
I would like to drive in and pander. Can you reserve me 10 to 12 minutes of pandering time?
This is amazing because it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, yes, it ridiculous. Does. Ridiculous.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the school board president.
We listened for 40 minutes and didn't hear a single person on the Sky or employed by the Sky. It was
wasn't Lieutenant Governor Stratton there too?
Oh yeah, of course.
And gentlemen, the comptroller.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Barr Topinka.
That DJ was doing a lot of work. Like, he had to hype up a lot of people that had no hype attached to them.
Your assistant attorney general.
Yo, David Orr in the house, yo!
I'm running for re-election in 2 months, and go Sky!
But yeah, the Flyers had a great time. Looked like they had a great time.
When I saw Diamond DeShield get off the bus, I was like, I want to be Diamond DeShield.
She looked like
one
she was having a lot of fun.
In my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was the Travis Wood of the Chicago
Gold Sky. Medals, like, cigars, trophies.
It was nuts.
That's tremendous.
They looked like they had a lot of fun. And then the politicians, as they always do, ruined the vibe for a solid hour.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous.
Tanny, just empty the vault today, man.
Oh, we got it all. Don't you worry. Lawrence, have a good day. We're back with Tanny's Open. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.